Hello there. It's Dr. Gene Mesko. We're talking to you from Mostly Hairless Apes. And if my fellow Mostly Hairless Apes, we're winding down the election season here, moving in on October, first week of October, a month before the U.S. national election between the orange parasite and the prosecutor. And it's so funny that we're still having these, people are still calling it pretty close. But there are so many Americans who think that the orange parasite wants to help them, and they don't see him for what he is. And I guess this is a difference of perspective. I'm talking to you as a kid from Jersey, somebody who grew up for years. Oh, the idea of conning stuff and getting stuff. I mean, way back when in my 20s, I was introduced to really embrace the concept that of where we are right now, this idea of people versus money. I think of it now as democracy versus capitalism. It's the two big social adaptations we use to organize our society. And I've mentioned that the problem with freedom of belief, freedom of religion, that people can believe whatever they want, is a failing when you try to organize a civilization. And I've come to appreciate that a civilization is nothing more than an idea, or a set of ideas at the very least. And those ideas are a belief system. They're the set of ideals that you hold. You say, this is what we're working for. This is why we agree to stay together as a group. And that determines what kind of government you make, which is the sum of all the rules. And then it determines what kind of economy you have, which is your relationship to the natural environment. Because that's really what we have here. We've evolved an economic system that's been dominated by capitalism. And because we've said by capitalism, people can own things. That's the biggest difference with the challenge of how we distribute stuff. And that's the yells of communism and socialism that come out. Because the other side of the civilization equation right now in the 2024 here on planet Earth, in America in particular, is that, well, we have this thing we call democratic government, where every responsible adult gets a say. And some people don't like that idea. Some people don't like that idea because they've inherited positions in society that have allowed them to accumulate huge amounts of wealth and to own huge amounts of resources. And they say, we don't want to change the rules. We don't want to mess with this idea that, well, money's not important. But it's an amazing concept, because money itself is this beautiful adaptation of civilization. The idea that we have this medium of exchange, this numerical system there where we define what everything is worth. And it's impacted by so many different things, only a portion of which are dependent upon the natural world. So prior to the Industrial Revolution, wealth really was biological. How much land did you have? How much seed did you control? How many crops could you grow? How many herds of animals could you manage? How many fish could you catch? All of those things involve how many minerals you could dig out of the ground. All of those wealth, all those measures of wealth, were based on humans working and doing things. And we did that through the colonial era, but primarily under the rules of this or that person. We had kings and monarchs, and then we figured out how to save some work, how to maintain a few shortcuts, because that's really what evolution is all about. Evolution is how to beat the natural world. Evolution, what life does, like capturing information, it figures out a way to capture energy, to store matter, to store energy, and use it to maintain organization. That's all living systems do. We beat entropy. We beat the physical system. And when we look at that up at the level of social organization, because it occurs at all sorts of levels. It occurs down at the chemical level. It occurs at the cellular level. It occurs at the multicellular organism level. We trade off different things. We capture energy. Cells maintain their membranes. Bodies will sacrifice cells. We actually have a biological phenomenon called apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. We actually have genes that tell certain cells in a multicellular organism to commit suicide. Bacteria don't have that. They don't kill themselves because they're solo actors. But if I need to get rid of a few little bits of webbing between my fingers when I'm developing in utero, it's a really useful tool to carve out the certain part of the body that we need. And likewise, when we take the next scale up to the social level, there are some individuals who are expendable. That's where we really start seeing the whole survival of the fittest thing. And we appreciate that if for a species to survive, not everybody's going to make it. And that's what animal societies do and plant societies. They have different organizations and different, they compete within the organizations, within the social groups for resources and, you know, place of purpose. And then humans became conscious. And once we were conscious, we started coming up with all these wacky ideas. We invented religions, we invented money, we invented the idea of royalty, that some people were better than others, and that worked for thousands of years. And as it worked for thousands of years, we said, hey, this works as long as we have a decent king, a benign monarch, that works. We got somebody in charge, they're going to take care of the details, they're going to protect the borders. And we're just going to farm and fish and hunt and do what we can. And trade and do business. And all that worked out for, well, when it didn't work out, we rebelled. And we threw this or that king out of office. We had revolutions over the years. And we fought other nations. We built up all these nations. And we got to the point where some nations picked up a few more tools. And that's really where we are right now. Western Europe took off with science and democracy and said, hey. And that was the challenge right there. Science said, hey, here's all this information. We could build all this stuff. And people, entrepreneurs and individual inventors created all this new stuff. Once we figured out how science worked, we were able to create so many new devices and so many labor-saving devices and so many useful tools that the whole Industrial Revolution took off. And we were able to make a living without having to sweat our brow in the field for 12 hours a day and go home and collapse and get up and do it again. We actually started to develop some leisure time, and that's actually what the royals had had. And it hadn't been advertised, but one of the inventions we came up with was mass media. And radio and television and the internet have all given us a peek behind the curtain. That's when it all blew up in the 20th century. Because without mass media, without being able to communicate, we knew the king lived off in their castle. We knew the royals were up to something. But we didn't know what. And we didn't appreciate how decadent they might have been in certain places. Unless it rippled out in their behavior. They got a little bit abusive. And if they got too abusive, we rebelled and overthrew the system. But for the most part, they got to do, people who'd climbed up that social ladder liked it. You know, religions did it with priesthoods, governments did it with royalty, and then the economy really was just a tool of both of those systems prior to the Industrial Revolution, because the economy, until we figured out science and industry, was really nothing but biology. It was all, you know, we had to grow crops, we had to fish, we had to hunt, we had to tend the herds, and once we were doing that, We stayed alive. But then we figured out this whole global economy. We took off with science and industry. And people could make money. And that's where the power fragmented. That's where it really got crazy over the last few centuries. Because if I had independent wealth, if I wasn't linked to the army and the monarchy, or to the church and whatever belief system they used to maintain it, then we had this third pillar of power, of economic power. because the church and state had worked that out pretty well. I mean, obviously, there'd been a few schisms. There was the Protestant Reformation. There was the whole Christian-Islam thing, which separated different civilizations. But Western civilization, Europe, where I'm a white guy from, had worked it out to say, hey, we're going to maintain social order with this balance between church and state. But industry blew that up. It really separated power. It moved power away. People could own the lands. And then we got into a huge evolution of economics. And that's what we've been doing for the last century plus, two centuries. The Industrial Revolution brought us into the Democratic Revolution because people could earn enough money. You could run your own farm. And America led the way with that because we had stumbled on the last major unexploited natural resource of North America. The old world, just like old world monkeys and new world monkeys led to different evolutionary ends, old world civilization and new world civilization brought out the fine points between democracy and monarchy as a way to run government. And with the industrial power of science and industry and the economic power of science and industry providing a counterbalance to the territoriality of the monarchies, we had a shift towards democracy. And that's where the 20th century went. And now we're sitting here at the 21st century. We've gotten rid of monarchies. We've crippled most faith systems. No, they're not trivial, though. They're still in the mix. And we still have lots of people who believe in magic with all of the crippling mental psychology that goes with that. The big competition, the true core of the problem is, are people more important than money, or is money and ownership more important than people? And that's where we are right now in the 21st century, and that's what we're looking at in this election. Because the orange parasite leads the charge, funded by lots of dark money. If you don't appreciate dark money, you should do some investigating. But there's lots of people who are funding the background, and both sides have it, obviously, because there's people with different belief systems, and they're funding this wonderful binary system we have, which says either or, we got to make a choice. And that choice boils down to, do I side with the populace? Do I side with the people, for the people, as Kamala has declared, that's what government should be. That's what democracy really is. True democracy is what's the best we can do for the most amount of people with the resources we have available, which means the government has to rule the economy. It has to set the limits. It has to set the boundaries. The alternative, which brings in the old aspect of religion, because this is the thing that is the red herring in the race, where we could say, because where it's really the moneyed interests, the people who've had runaway capitalism without limits, who have extreme ownership and literally billions of dollars that they can invest in elections and advertising. And they're all, and they don't know what to do with him because he's quite a maniac, the orange parasite. But he's their champion because he actually represents the ideal of that there aren't any limits. There aren't any boundaries. We're not going to be civilized. And that really is the choice we have right now. Because if you're saying you want to vote red, you want to vote Republican, you want to vote for the orange parasite, and say, let's put these people in power, and he'll pass over some power to the religious people. Because religion is no different than having a CEO who's a wingnut. Because if you have somebody with so much money that the rules don't matter, and you have somebody who's a religious nut who says, I deeply believe that this invisible God is the most important thing in the world, and I have to follow their rules however I interpret them. Well, you're going to get some really erratic behavior. And that erratic behavior is basically anchored in those two adaptations, those two social adaptations of a religious belief system, which says there's a magical God out there, and I don't know how to solve the problems, but God does. And if I listen to religious leaders, they might have some answers. And that's so, that's the problem with religion as I see it in a democracy. Because democracy requires us to think. Democracy requires us to look at the choices and say, what am I going to vote for? What am I going to spend my dollars on? Because that's really, if we had a functioning democracy, we would all appreciate that we vote every day. We vote every day based on how we spend our money. Because the economy in a true democracy should be subservient to the government. The economy should be limited by the government because we have to control the distribution of resources. If we're going to be doing the greatest good for the greatest number of people, and call it socialist if you want, call it communist if you want. I call it capitalist democracy. I want capitalism. Capitalism is good. We should have competition for resources. We should have competition for who we want to do jobs. And people, and if you're better at something, you should get paid for it. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is we just have to put a cap on it. That's all. I'm just saying it can't be unlimited. And that's what we have right now. Go back and look at Citizens United versus the FEC, or McCutcheon versus the FEC, the Supreme Court decisions over a decade ago that led to unlimited campaign financing, totally took the boundaries off, took the rails off the highway of our election process. And what they said was, oh, you can't give directly to the candidate, but you could spend as much as you want trying to get any given person elected. Or you could push for any issue. Money is free speech. That's not a bad idea. I should be able to get to spend my resources. But when you have runaway capitalism, when you have literally billionaires who have whatever wacky ideas they have in their head, then they're really no different than kings. They're no different than the kings of old, and they're no different than the robber barons of the late 19th, early 20th century, who were all these kings. This is why we had the Democratic Revolution, because we had the Scientific and Industrial Revolution, which created the modern world, which gave us modern communications, and people were able to peek behind the curtain. And we peeked behind the curtain of all the monarchies, and we realized we wanted democracy. We said, no, they're no different than us. They're not magic. There's no divine right of kings. Royals are just people who happen to be in charge. Now, in the older monarchies and in earlier days, kings had to earn it. I mean, they had to go out and fight battles and win wars. That's why we have heroes and warrior gods. And they actually had some biological advantages. We praise the wisdom of Solomon because leaders were actually smarter than other people. And that's who we should be electing. We should be electing people who have better skills, who know how to solve problems. And that's what capitalist democracy would give us. Capitalist democracy with a new major belief system. That's the new belief system we need. The new belief system we need is the Church of Science. The Church of Science says, hey, there may be gods out there, but we don't know. We don't know how to get information out of them. We don't know how to standardize the production. Because one thing we've realized during the industrial and scientific revolutions is that if we follow a recipe, if we use coordinated information, we can solve a lot of problems. We can engineer spaceships and telecommunication satellites and computers and nuclear power plants and so much more in HVAC systems for 100-plus story buildings. All of that's engineering. All of that's science. That's all the application of science and industry. We can build so much stuff because we have a really good handle on how natural world works. And biology tells us it extends into the ecosystem. It's all about matter and energy and space and time, the basics of science. And when you start organizing it and looking at science and actually use your brain to learn how science works, you go, oh, I get it. There may be magical entities out there. There may be alien races. There may be gods. But you know what? We don't have any evidence of them. We haven't had any evidence and any new gods in freaking centuries, if not millennia. and maybe because they're not real. And what if we all operated from the belief system that said, there may be gods out there, but we don't know. And because we don't know, we're going to operate like there aren't any. We're going to operate from the null hypothesis. We're going to operate from a scientific perspective that says, hey, we might very well be on our own here. So let's use our knowledge. Let's use our brains as best we can and solve the problems as best we can. And the problems we have are, how do we keep people alive? How do we keep other species alive? How do we run science and industry to solve more problems for us and feed and clothe and house as many people as we can and educate them all and not get into these silly fights, not waste so many resources on competitions that don't do us any good, that do not solve any problems for us other than giving rich people more money? Because that's what we get into. Why do we fight over oil? What's the big conflict in the Middle East? Because oil is our major energy source. We need it to run the economy. And the people who control the oil industry don't want us to look at alternatives, don't want us to have resources to spend on other things, where we might actually decentralize power, where we would build things like wind and solar and other sources that would eventually compensate for the production of energy and the use of energy. Because if we could do that, people would lose power. Then that's not what people want. That's not what the people at the top want. We have spent millennia building up little empires. And at first it was religious empires saying, oh, we have information and it needs to be filtered through the priesthood. Because that's what religions really were. Religions, for the longest time, were regarded as the smartest people around. Because they actually had answers to questions. Because they sat in their monasteries and they actually looked at problems and they figured stuff out and they gave us good answers. And a lot of those good answers became things like commandments, which are actually really useful. Don't kill each other. Don't steal. Don't want more than you need. Don't covet. Don't be greedy. All of those rules that evolved in the Christian ethos are actually really useful tools for civilization. But as we've lost belief in God, and we've started to say, hey, wait, maybe there isn't somebody out there. We've given up. We've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We threw out all of those good rules. Well, all I'm saying is what evolution teaches us is you look at a situation and you realize things change all the time. But how can they change for the better? How can we direct them? Because for the most part of Earth's history, 3.5 billion years since cellular life first evolved, we moved up through slime molds and amoebas and sponges and worms and basic animals and vertebrates and fish and reptiles and mammals and primates and humans. And we finally figured out, oh, wait a minute, we can think. We can actually think about problems. We have an ability to change the selective pressure of evolution. And as opposed to waiting on DNA mutations and natural selection to occur, we could do artificial selection. We can actually use our brains to look at a situation. And when we do that, we can say, wait a minute, we have to choose. What do we want? We need an economy. We need to somehow distribute resources. We need a government. We need rules for everybody. And why do we do this? Because we believe something. And we, for the longest time, we believed in gods. And for the last 100+ years, we've said, you know, based on things like the Holocaust, maybe there aren't any gods. Maybe humans just do things to maintain power. And that's why we got rid of kings. That's why we threw the kings out. And we threw out the dictators that followed them, although some dictators are still hanging on. And the dictators that are still hanging on do so because they hold on to resources and they have so much wealth and power that they can give orders based on their whims. That's what Putin is. That's what the orange parasite is. That's what the people who do dark money in politics are. And what we have to do is cut them off at the knees. And we, the people, have to say, enough is enough. You can own stuff. You can own a house. Everybody should have a house. You can own 2 houses. But where's the limit? Should you own a whole fucking country? Should you be able to tell anybody you want, I control the power of life and death over you? I don't think so. I don't think that's the country, the world I want to live in. And so we already have a global economy. We have to figure out a global government. If we want it to be democracy, we have to limit capitalism. We have to be able to say, no more offshore holdings, no more hidden tax shelters. You don't get to hide away billions of dollars and use it at your discretion, however you want, because you managed to climb up to the top of a pyramid of some corporate ladder, which was built on the labor of thousands of people. All those people, you can build a corporation, you should, but everybody in that corporation needs to be paid well, and they need to have retirement benefits, and they need to have health insurance, and they need to have educational opportunities. And if you're not supplying that, we're going to